next issue, which indeed is a very serious topic. Revelations about sexual abuse in football recently shocked the UK. It was back in November, and there's been the dedicated hotline from the NSPCC. The scandal has highlighted indeed gaps in child protection, which could make children vulnerable to being abused in sporting settings and in children's clubs generally. Now, the NSPCC's Trust to Lead campaign wants to increase the number of children being protected and to extend the most stringent checks with Access NI to cover more adults working with children. I want to speak to Colin Reid from the NSPCC. Colin, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Colin, I thought our kids were totally, utterly and completely protected with the stringent checks in place in 2017. I have a number of friends who are, you know, managers of little teams involved with youth clubs and whatever, and they've all been vetted.
And I think that's the case, yes. I mean, we've got very good processes, particularly, I think, in Northern Ireland here, around keeping children safe. I think Sport NI in particular has provided great leadership, along with a lot of headquartered organisations in sports, and work in our own context very, very well. But I suppose what we've identified, Frank, is from the many calls we got, you mentioned the FA stuff, the football stuff in November, we came into our helpline. I mean, there are probably things that we could do slightly better. And one thing is to extend the abuse of trust legislation to sports coaches. And secondly, there's a wee bit of tightening up we could do to the vetting legislation to ensure that everyone got an enhanced criminal record check.
So you do want to see it being, as you say, more stringent. You want almost, there will be those who'll be listening who'll be thinking, an element of intrusion.
No. I think people are very happy with this, where we've come to and the standards that we have, and organisations have been very good. I mean, you mentioned some of those smaller organisations about ensuring the best standards, but where we identify where there are potential improvements, and I think I want to come at it from that angle, we think we should do it. And there are two areas we definitely think we could actually strengthen further that wouldn't be intrusive to people, and indeed I think the sports community would actually support.
And do you find there are some sports that would be more aware of the legislation than others? Are there some that are more or less just flying along and not paying the attention to this important issue that they should be?
No, well, I think in Northern Ireland, the governing bodies of the sports, the main ones, have been fantastic and have embraced all the kind of best practice in sport and have done an awful lot to keep all our children safe. I suppose it's always a challenge to smaller organisations or new start-up sports. You maybe don't have the sporting infrastructure, although we in NSPCC try to work with a wide range of sporting organisations to help them. But this is all about improving practice, not about kind of identifying, saying everything's wrong. There are definitely one or two things that we could do that actually would make things better.
Now, if I am a person who's about to become a manager of an under-8s team, or I'm getting involved because my wee fella's in it and I, you know, want to give something back to the community, can I go along and just be part of the setup and give advice to the manager, who maybe is a friend of mine? He says, "Ah, yeah, Frank, come along here and help me out with the team." Can you just go along and do that, or do you have to go through a specific process?
Well, there is a process. I'm glad you kind of mentioned that type of scenario. I mean, when the coalition government came in 2011, they made this amendment around checks and exemption, a potential exemption for that type of situation where perhaps I'm supervising you. It's called a supervised exemption. And none of us particularly liked it or could really understand why it came about. Sports organisations don't like it. It's actually very difficult to explain. And most sports organisations just design jobs out so that they just carry out their checks as per normal. And we would hope that most organisations have systems in place to ensure that if someone comes along and starts getting involved, that they put them through the relatively straightforward Access Northern Ireland check.
I'm just looking at part of your survey here that absolutely jumps out. And it's a general survey, and it has to do with age of consent and sexual activity with a teenager. The NSPCC survey has shown that 60% of adults in Northern Ireland didn't know that it is illegal for someone in a position of trust to have sex with 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds who are in their care. Now, we could probably use a most relevant example of this. If there's a 19-year-old who is responsible for the group and the 19-year-old is running this team or whatever, and there's a 17-year-old who's in that team, it is illegal for that 19-year-old to have a relationship with that 17-year-old. Is that right?
No, I need to probably explain what the abuse of trust legislation is. There's a piece of legislation in that applies across the UK that's designed to protect children above the age of consent, but who are in positions of trust or who are looked after people by people in positions of trust, primarily, for example, social workers, teachers, in those types of state setting. And you'll be familiar, your listeners will be familiar with kind of some of those cases that have been in the public domain, really to protect children who are, while they're capable of giving consent, there's a person with a position of trust. Now, the gap that we identify is really in respect of sporting organisations, I mean, and other kind of organisations like us, where there's a person in a position of trust, the legislation doesn't apply to them. We all know, for example, how important coaches are. My own daughter was an Irish and Ulster swimmer, and you know that the coach is a very, very, very important person in their life and your life. And I suppose from the FA stuff that happened in November, it's clear that we need to try to extend those protections to those types of settings, to where children are potentially, or young people are potentially vulnerable and very dependent on coaches. And I have to say, in talking to many sporting organisations also, I think, are supportive of this too.
Yeah, but just to clear this up regarding the age and who's responsible, if there's a 19-year-old running the team, he can have a relationship with the 17-year-old who's in the team. If there's a 35-year-old, if the 50-year-old running the team, and he's having a relationship with the 17-year-old in the team, is that entirely different?
No, it's exactly the same. It's not unlawful. It would be unlawful if that person happened to be a teacher or a social worker or somebody working in a residential setting. So you can see that it's unlawful in one setting, but not necessarily in another. And I think what we're saying is looking for a position of trust, particularly around sporting organisations. We think that provision in the abuse of trust legislation should be extended in that context.
So you would like to see the law insist that the, again, using the example, which is the most stark one, the 19-year-old who is employed to run that team or who is entrusted with running that team, even if they're not employed to do it, you would like to see legislation where they couldn't have a relationship with a 17-year-old who was sent by their parents to be part of that team.
Yeah, well, I mean, people in positions of trust are very, very responsible to all of our children and young people. And what we're saying is we should have those protections to ensure that children young people are not placed in an exploitative situation by people in positions of trust,
and
irrespective of what age they are.
Yeah, and just to be clear, the age of consent in Northern Ireland is 16.
It's 16, yes.
Colin, it is always a complex issue when it comes to looking after children, when it comes to looking after young teenagers, and anyone who's going into it should be fully aware of the impact it would have on their life if something goes wrong, an accusation is made, or indeed the impact it would have on the young person's life if they get themselves involved in a relationship that is going to have a negative connotation. I'm not talking about direct abuse. I'm talking about being involved in some way where you're well-meaning, but you are going to regret the steps that you're taking. Is that fair enough to say?
Yeah, no, and I think that's why we invest and organisations invest and Sport NI and other organisations have put a lot of effort into looking at best standards for those very important people in positions of trust. I mean, look, sport is very, very important, Frank. Sports coaches are fantastic people. They provide a wonderful service, and 99.9% of them are fantastic. And what we need to do is ensure we give them the skills and the best practice guidance to keep themselves safe, as well as keeping young people in their care safe as well.
And currently, it is illegal to hire someone to work with children regularly if they are barred from doing so, of course, but only if that person would be working with children unsupervised.
Yes, I mean, it's a really complicated way of doing it, but you're correct. It'd be illegal for an organisation to hire someone who they knew to be barred, yes.
But if there's another person there who is fully responsible for the children and who isn't in any way barred from being there, the other individual can be in the company of the children.
Yes, because it's not what's called regulative, and that's a kind of gap. You couldn't have a very manipulative individual who sought an organisation that didn't carry out checks because they were supervised. I mean, an example might be midnight football or something, where you're the coach and you're supervising me. That's an exemption on the legislation. I don't have to be checked. although not organisations, to be perfectly honest, don't like it, so they just carry out checks anyway. They design the job in such a way that you know, it's, I mean, in reality, it's very difficult. What is supervision? You go off sick, and then I'm running the club. So I think there's a gap there that we'd kind of need to address, and I think the sports organisations would be very happy to see that addressed.
And Access NI, is that working generally?
Yeah, Access Northern Ireland is the way in which we do our disclosure arrangements. They are very, very good. I think they've invested heavily in IT and systems that kind of make the system a lot easier for people. And I don't pick up any difficulties from the community about vetting checks. And I think most people just accept that there's something that just needs to be done, and it's fairly routine now.
Okay, it's important to have a chat about it. Colin, thanks for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Colin Reid from the NSPCC. If you are involved, make sure that everything is signed, sealed, delivered, T's crossed, I's dotted, and steer clear of any potential pitfalls. Paul...